With some new, introductions, we have two new youth and government people here today. So why don't we just start going around the room? By that time it'll be 6:30, and introduce one another, and you can introduce yourselves to the committee as well, and just tell us where you go to school and whatever else you'd like to tell us. So I'm Terry Rose. I'm a county board supervisor from the 2nd District and chair of the committee.
And I'm Dave Gertson. We got to meet at the orientation, if you remember me, and I look forward to working with you. I'm on the finance committee, and I'm also your liaison.
Very good. I'm Brian Bashaw, represent District 19, so almost everything west of the I.
I'm Tim Stockler, I represent District 14.
I'm Bill Grady, District Number 1.
I'm Aiden Hawkins. I'm going into my junior year at Wascosia Central.
Hi, I'm Evan Vasquez. I'm going into my senior year at Wilmot Union High School.
Where do you two live?
I live in Bristol.
Okay.
I live in Kenosha, right in Whitecaps.
Oh, okay. I'm Aaron Decker, County Board Supervisor, District 22. Which is out in West End, so Salem Lakes, Randall, all of Wheatland, a little bit of Brighton.
Everything I don't cover.
Yeah.
Now wait a minute.
John Poole, District 20, which is Paddock Lake and Northern Salem, which is about the rest of the west of the I.
Mary Fasci, I'm the recording secretary, and I'm an accountant for the finance department here.
Hi, Barna Bench, I'm the budget director for the county.
And I'm Patty Merrill, I'm the finance director for the county.
Very good, thank you. And to the new members of the youth and governance being on our committee, please feel free to ask questions, speak up, express your opinions, and we'll call upon you to vote if you so choose. We'll call the meeting to order and begin with citizen comments. Just to recall, please state your name, your address, and we'd like to limit it to about 3 minutes. Any citizen comments? If you would like to just step up and either sit at the chair or stand behind the chair, your choice.
I'm down with this. Thank you. I'm sorry I'm semi-reading this, but it's been a long day. Anyway, I'm Jim Foster, James Foster, 11421 79th Place in Pleasant Prairie. I've been a physician in this county for a hair less than 40 years, and on the Board of Health for 17 years. I'm here tonight to urge that the committee vote no on the resolution to repeal the 1996 Resolution 12 regarding the Kenosha County Department Division Heads. Now, in fairness, my main experience with the Board of Health, so that's going to be probably most of my focus here and why I feel the way I do. And I have to say for everybody here, we really do have an excellent health department, and everybody should be very proud of it because they work extremely hard, especially the last few years, to try to keep the ship afloat. And I do think it's imperative that the health officer or director have the ability to always feel comfortable saying whatever they truly believe are the best medical practices and the current guidance based on the science. And I do want to make it clear, my concern's not with the county executive, it's with the recommended policy change. I do have unease about a setting where the county executive could unilaterally dismiss one or more directors if she or he disagrees with their decisions or general recommendations regarding some specific problem. I think most of us in the room would admit we don't particularly want insurance companies telling us what tests we can have or what procedures we should do, and I would make a similar argument for the health department. My understanding is that the county executive makes the recommendations for appointees to the Board of Health, and in the next 3 years, 6 of the 9 positions are going to expire, and she will have that opportunity to renew those. I mean, that's already a fair amount of power, if you will, within, and that's the way it's been, but within one person, really, to at least get that process initiated. In roughly the first 18 months of the pandemic, at least 300 health department directors resigned. And that, incidentally, is roughly one out of every 10 in the country left their positions. And many of these were because they were verbally abused, physically threatened, or their families were targeted. It's a tough job, and it was made more difficult during the pandemic. When Resolution 12 was passed in 96, there was a legitimate concern, and I'm quoting, it is in the best interest of Kenosha County to establish policies under which the county can hire and retain high-caliber, experienced division heads. If the current health department director were to lose her job, I do have concerns that would not be an easy position to replace, and particularly if whomever was, and I have no reason to think that'll happen, but if whoever was being recruited or for any position knew that their job could end in 4 years, I think that would also impact somebody trying to recruit the best and most qualified people. And although I'm not familiar with all the other director positions, I have similar concerns for the director of human resources position. Obviously, if that individual is removed at the pleasure of the county executive, which I think is the proposed language, in my opinion, it could create real or just perceived conflicts of interest and risks of favoritism. Clearly, in 1996, it was important enough to pass Resolution 12. I don't understand why all of that should be reversed just because we have a new county supervisor, or county executive, I'm sorry. So in summary, I just urge this committee to vote no on the resolution to repeal the 1996 policy mission, Resolution 12.
All right, thank you. Further comments from anyone?
My name is Geraldine Connolly, 1622 38th Court, Kenosha. And I echo the request to oppose the repeal of Policy 12. I'm a retired human resource professional and am very surprised that there is no mention of performance measurements that if the county executive can just unilaterally fire a division head. And these individuals are typically people with specific knowledge of the function that they're leading. There should at least be in place, as with Policy 12, performance measurements and steps that are required before the county executive can just at a whim fire somebody if the division head or department head doesn't agree with their politics or she doesn't like the way they look that day. You see all of the detail in Policy 12, and the resolution appears to wipe out all of the steps that would be needed to fire a division head or a department head. Between the other proposal to allow weapons into Kenosha County buildings and now this resolution to be removed at the pleasure of the county executive without recourse is a very unfriendly work atmosphere. I don't know how morale would be with any kind of county employee if they feel that their position could go away at a minute. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Further comments from anyone? Further comments?
We're trying to figure out whose turn it is. Hi, I'm Heidi Helgeson. My address is 6507 40th Avenue. Thank you for letting me speak today. I am also in opposed to this new resolution, and I think the other two folks spoke very well before me. One of the things that I did want to say is that the current position does include that a person would have to have a performance review and then have an opportunity to improve their performance before they would be fired. And I guess I find it just concerning that, you know, I would hope we live in a world where we give people a second chance, and where we want people to improve, where we want folks to learn. You're a student, and so you, as a student, I'm a retired teacher. When a child doesn't succeed, we don't throw them away. We give them a chance. We teach them more. We give them an opportunity to improve so that what they do is become better instead of be discarded. So I really hope that you will take that into consideration in this meeting and in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Further citizen comments?
My name is Marita Huff, 7939 34th Avenue, Kenosha, Wisconsin. And I echo the previous. I just don't think that this measure to do away with policy 12 is necessary. There's already at least three ways that you can fire a division head at this time. They can be fired for cause, which includes insubordination or any other appropriate cause. They can be fired if their position is downsized, and they can be fired if they miss any of the steps in their performance improvement. And so how many more ways do you need to fire someone? And then I agreed, a county executive has only 4 years to enact their agenda. And so they want to have employees that facilitate the working out of their agenda. And maybe firing one or two people will put the rest into line so that they will do the bidding of the county executive. But what kind of collaboration do you think you are going to get from the rest of the crew if they know that if they say something that may not be popular with their county executive, they could be fired? So if you want good ideas filtering from the bottom up and being brought to the county executive, good from creative people that know their jobs, or people that will say to you, you can't do that because if you do that down the road, such and such could happen. If they're afraid to say that, what are you paying them for their expertise for if they don't feel that they can say what is important to say? Thank you.
Thank you. Further citizen comments?
Good evening. My name is Bruce Milne. I live at 9936 50th Avenue in Pleasant Prairie. And I'm speaking out about the resolution to ban private money to fund elections. And I have a number of reasons for it. So I'm going to refer to the resolution. It said that $8.8 million approximately of Zuckerberg money was sent to the Wisconsin five cities, Madison, Green Bay, Kenosha, Racine, Madison. Of that money, $862,000 approximately went to Kenosha. And it says in here that most of it is used for Get Out the Vote campaign and election administration. That's extremely misleading. Most of it was done for election administration. And to put it in context, the 2020 election was conducted during the height of the pandemic. And polling places were cut back. Many poll workers who used to work in elections couldn't do it because of the pandemic. And there was a great concern there would be enough people to carry out the election. It was a very unusual election. And the money was used to hire poll workers, purchase cleaning and safety supplies for COVID, cameras, for drop boxes, et cetera, et cetera. For the first time in my life, I voted absentee. I've never done it before. And it was complicated. You had to have a computer, you had to download your ID, which, you know, I was able to do. But a lot of people have a lot of problems with computers and or don't have computers. So there needed to be a lot of voter education. That is not get out the vote. I think that you had to have a lot of election education, which this funding helped provide for. And furthermore, you quote the, who is that? Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. This organization, which is conservative, which is nothing wrong with that, they said there was no substantial fraud in the Wisconsin election. Biden won fairly and squarely. There's no question. This group that provided the funding did not cast doubt on the election. the election was, 21,000 vote margin. That's not that close. There have been closer elections. George W. Bush lost Wisconsin by 5,000 votes. So, we've had close elections. So I would hope you would reconsider this resolution. So I think it's just not right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any other discussion? Any other citizen comments?
I am Reggie Wallagora. I'm the Kenosha County Clerk. My address, 2416 28th Avenue. I'm addressing item number 7 as well, the resolution prohibiting the acceptance of grants or donations from non-governmental entities for purposes of funding the administration of elections. As the Kenosha County Clerk, I was aware of this opportunity, but I did not seek to obtain grants or funds from the Center for Tech and Civic Life or from any private sources. Though it is not illegal to apply and accept grant money from private sources, my personal conviction regarding elections is to be mindful of perception. Why does perception matter more than reality? Because more often, opinion or perception is more influential than fact or reality. It ignites emotions and personal beliefs. My experience has been most people base their decisions and beliefs merely on immediate perception, without seeking out reality or truth. This resolution is misleading, and it implies that Kenosha County and the county clerk's office was involved with the Center for Tech and Civic Life. There are several lines within the resolution that are misleading, as the role of the county clerk, who is the chief election officer for the county. For anyone who is not familiar with what the county clerk's role and responsibilities are in administrating elections, here is a brief synopsis. The clerk is responsible for the publishing of required election notices, serve as filing officer for county candidates and referendums, communicate with municipal clerks to receive proper certification of candidates and referendums, preparation and programming of the ballots, printing and distribution of the ballots to the municipal clerks, receive election night reporting, provide the results of the election, conduct the county board of canvass for federal, state, and county races, certify the results of the canvass to the state, and maintain and securely store election materials for the required statutory timeline. All these duties are in accordance with Chapter 7 of the Wisconsin statutes. Now, to go on to the resolution, in paragraph 2, whereas nearly one half of the $8.8 million distributed to the Wisconsin five cities was used by those cities to get in a Get Out the Vote campaign, a GOTV, and election administration, it is not legal for election officials, tax-paid employees, to conduct GOTV campaigns. I want it to be known that the county clerk's office has not, does not, and historically has not conducted or participated in any Get Out the Vote campaign. See, I can't even say it. Since this is a county resolution, this paragraph implies that the county elected officials have conducted GOTV campaigns, which is not truth for Kenosha County. Therefore, I believe it should be removed. In paragraph 7, whereas the citizens of Kenosha County are concerned that Kenosha County or election officials in Kenosha County might knowingly or unknowingly accept private or corporate funds from organizations such as the Center for Tech and Civic Life. This statement implies improper action on part of an elected official or the county. Also, it should be clarified that there is a process in place of accepting grant and donation funds, which is outlined in the Kenosha County Municipal Code Ordinance 211, sub 6. Before any grant or donation funds can be expensed, a resolution needs to be brought before the Finance Committee for authorization to modify the budget. If it is approved by the Finance Committee, it would then go before the County Board to be voted on. The bottom line is the board has the final say. Now, in the eighth paragraph, now, therefore, be it resolved that the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors directs that the policy of the county shall be no donation or grant shall be accepted from any person or non-governmental entity for the purposes of election administration, including but not limited to the collection of ballots or voter registrations. The portion of that last sentence, including but not limited to collection of ballots or voter registrations, is simply an incorrect statement. The receipt of ballots or voter registration is a function of the municipal clerk, and it is not a function of the chief election officer or the county clerk. This resolution will not have any effect on municipalities in Kenosha County. The county and the clerk does not have authority to govern municipal clerks. Each municipality is responsible for their election, receipt of ballots, voter registrations, and the funds they use to administer their election. This resolution is misleading regarding actions of Kenosha County and the county clerk. It should reflect that neither the county clerk or Kenosha County applied, received, or participated in the grants or funds that were provided through the Center for Tech and Civic Life. The language in the resolution should reflect truth and should be applicable to the county. The line in the last paragraph, including collection of ballots and voter registrations, should be removed, as this is not a county function. I understand the concern as to where funds used for election administration originate. The language of the resolution should convey truth to the lack of involvement of Kenosha County and the Kenosha County Clerk's Office in receiving any funds from CTCL. I would also like it to be known that I have had only one supervisor from this committee ask me questions about the election process and about CTCL. If this resolution passes, I ask that you please consider revising the language to reflect the truth and not to cast doubt on the actions of Kenosha County and the Office of the County Clerk when administering elections. Thank you, everyone.
All right, thank you. Are there further citizen comments?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Cool. My name is Ellen Ferwerda, and I live at 7824 Fifth Avenue. And I'm reiterating a lot of the feelings that other people have brought up regarding the county executive's increased power over the hiring and firing of division heads. I understand she already has the power to hire and fire department heads. I wrote an email to my alderman, Terry Rose, and I thought I would like to read it now, even though it's a little repetitious. I'm writing to voice my concern over the policy you are proposing to give the new county executive the power to hire and fire at her pleasure, not just department heads, which she already has the power to do, but now you're wanting to extend the power to include division heads. As it stands, the policy written in 1996 is very thorough and outlines a clear process for dealing with employees who are not operating or performing up to par. I imagine the county wants to find employees of merit. They want to find and hold on to candidates invested in their job. Good employees should expect to be rewarded for their effort with a certain amount of recognition and job security. I see no reason to replace the well-thought-out document from 1996 with this brief resolution that you want to replace it with. It simply states the county executive would be allowed to fire and hire dedicated employees without reason or recourse. There is no explanation in this new resolution of the process involved in making such a decision. It necessarily follows that high-caliber candidates will not choose to work for Kenosha County. Not only is this resolution unfair, it illustrates a serious lack of respect for experience and expertise of other stakeholders in the work setting. This proposal does not make sense to me. We have not been given very good reasons for it, and for why the changes are being made, why the urgency to make these changes, And why should the power to make these decisions rest only in the hands of the county exec and the Board of Supervisors? Such decisions should include input from other employees who have more knowledge of the day-to-day workings of the county government. I hope you decide it doesn't make sense to change the policy as it was written in 1996, and thank you very much for your consideration.
All right, thank you. Further discussion, citizen comments?
Good evening, and thank you. David Lockwood, 125 56th Street, Kenosha. Also speaking to the potential repeal of Resolution 20 from 1996. Everything that this lady said, I agree with, so I'll be very brief. I'm very hopeful that this board is going to help Kenosha grow. I think that's what you're all here for, and I'm hopeful that you're going to do that. Repealing this resolution hurts Kenosha in that way because it does not allow us to bring in the best possible people. These people are administrators, and they need to be creative. They need to be able to say, I agree, I disagree, because they might know something about their particular area of expertise that the board doesn't know. So they need the confidence that they can disagree and still have their jobs. So just to be super brief, this is about keeping Kenosha County competitive with all those other counties and states out there, as you know, in a terribly difficult hiring atmosphere, right? We want to be able to be competitive, and setting it up this way just creates an atmosphere of, well, fear among department heads, and we do not want that. We want people who want to come to Kenosha and stay here, and hopefully, you know, stay as a department head for a long time if they're truly qualified. So also what has been said is that this particular resolution as it's proposed has no details whatsoever, except you're able to be hired and fired at will. So hurting Kenosha and our competitiveness. So please think about that as you work on this or any other resolutions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further discussion, citizen comments. Well, seeing no further comments from anyone, citizen comments will be closed. We'll move on to the next item on the agenda. I do not have any reports. Do any committee members? Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to let the committee know that I attended the Government Finance Officers Association convention in Austin last week. And it was 105 degrees every day. And Austin really has great barbecue. And I got to go to the Austin City Limits, which was really cool. I love bluegrass and country music. But I also spend most of my time learning, getting up to speed, and also a lot of our great fiscal team, finance team was there too. So they were all learning a lot of stuff too. So that was a great convention. Cybersecurity. One of the things that I learned about cybersecurity is there was a bond analyst from Kroll that was actually there and said that that was a key measure that they looked at for governing bodies, us, on how serious do we take it. So I just wanted to let the board know that, you know, to the degree we support measures to combat cybersecurity or we don't, they look at us and they look at our governance in that respect. If I remember right, the what's the name of the federal legislation? The Federal Recovery Act has $1.35 billion available for us to go after. I don't know if we've tried to go after that or whether there's too many hoops to go through and it's really not feasible, but there is money there for us to help combat cybersecurity. I learned that we are covered. We do have insurance, but that insurance will double. There's a lot of standards we have to meet in order to get insured. It's a high bar to clear, and it's getting harder every year. One of the things they look at is, do we have a plan? And so a lot of us had to take a test, in order to be able to use the computer. I think all of us had to, and that's one of many best practices, so I got to see that. But one of the things they talked about was this should be folded in with our emergency response process. So I know we have an emergency response process here. We have emergency, it used to be called emergency government, it's folded into the sheriff now. But this is something that should be integrated into that. So it resides in our IT, cybersecurity now resides in our IT, but it should be integrated into our emergency response process. And one thing that was interesting is these guys that do this, very sophisticated, once you get attacked, it's not if you're going to get attacked, it's when. So it's really how good are you responding when the attack happens. So the first thing you need to do is, who can I call? And really you want to call a high-powered expert to guide you through this whole thing and make sure you don't mess it up right at the beginning. And they need access to resources quickly. So presenters at two of the sessions that I went to on cybersecurity talked about governments losing millions of dollars because they had to take too long to go to the county board to get approval and authority to take some of the steps they needed in order to address the immediate cybersecurity issue. So I just want to bring that to your attention. I would request the administration present to us best practices so that we're in a position to, so that the county's in a position to respond to any cybersecurity issue quickly and mitigate any damage as much as possible. I went to a lot of other sessions, but there were two others I just wanted to briefly highlight. One was the very last session I went to was the budget balancing session. And they actually have, the Government Finance Officers Association actually has a section there, Balancing Budget in Bad Times, Part 1 and Part 2. And so we could talk about a lot of things we can do at the beginning of bad times, middle of bad times, and end of bad times. But as a county board, one of the things that they say is good for us to do is demonstrate frugality, you know, that we take it seriously, even in the small things. So that's one of the big things for us to send the message, establish a culture of frugality. And when things start going bad, don't shoot yourself in the foot and take bad budget measures like using reserves to balance the budget, just digging the hole deeper. These GFOA best practices help you in what to do when you are in bad times. And the one thing I wanted to say is, I worked for the county for over 30 years, and I've seen the cycles. I've seen the economy when it was good. I've seen the economy when it's bad. Right now, we are not in good times. I've seen it. We're not in good times with the inflation and the other things that are going. So I really think we need to prepare for addressing our core needs budgetarily over the next couple of years, and that's these guidelines will help us do that and keep the boat afloat, serve the public, do a good job of serving the public, and still be able to keep ourselves a AAA financial shape as a AAA county. And just touching on ARPA a little bit, the fiscal team here has a really good grasp on ARPA, and they sat in many of the sessions that I was in. One of the things that I heard discussed was the federalization of ARPA, which means that we really need to be careful that some of these programs we need to follow purchasing rules like Davis-Bacon and a lot of other federal rules that we normally wouldn't have to follow when we're going through purchasing. We did do that, but would they retroactively apply that to some things later that it seemed like we didn't have to do that? There were a lot of governments concerned about that. But the other thing that they cited that I observed was there's flexibility with this money. It was kind of stunning the flexibility that we have with this $33 million that we got. So you know, you've all got the report from finance, and you know that we've got the $33 million. So going forward, I think this will be an aid to us in balancing the budget. So, and that concludes my report.
Thank you. Those are very good remarks. Any other reports, Aaron?
I just wanted to say that I went through, everyone should have gotten the, obviously the audit from the expenses of above $5,000. I also went through the approximate 250-page report of the under 5,000 and under expenditures for the last month. And I sent a whole bunch of questions to Patty, so I'm looking forward to getting to the answers to that. I know it's going to take you a while, I understand that. So I just wanted to let you know that I believe I CC'd a couple of the other supervisors on the committee here. And then also I'd like us to look, I don't know if, I'd like us to, before budget time, to look at health insurance options and things like that, because that's a big portion of our budget. And I don't know if, you know, we're, I've heard some comments about our, the prescription drug program. And so I don't know if we're offering the best options to our employees at the best price, or if there's things we can look at to reduce price and increase options, or that kind of stuff. So I'd like to, for us as a committee, to look at that.
Good suggestion. When would you suggest that we agenda that?
If it's something that the administration can get information for us, when they have information for us, different options and things like that.
What do you think, Claire?
I don't quite understand the scope of what you're looking for, so you know, it could take some time, but can you add a little?
Oh, we can talk later.
Okay.
Sounds good.
We'll work with our broker.
All right.
That's it. Thank you.
All right, good. Thank you. Anything else from committee members? Yes,
we gave the DA $50,000. I was wondering if there, and it could be an ongoing thing, I was wondering if there was some way we could ask them to give us a report of the effectiveness of what they're doing.
Okay.
What I'd like is to know who's charged, what were they charged with, what were they convicted of, and what was their sentence. I'd love to hear those four things, on a monthly or a quarterly basis. And based on that, if they're being effective, I don't mind continuing the process, but if they're not being very effective, we should revisit that, I think.
Can we put that on the next agenda and invite him to come and make that report, and you can discuss it?
Okay.
Good. Any other reports? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, the May 12th minutes.
I would move approval of that in the closed session, if that's acceptable.
All right.
Second.
Are there any additions, corrections, or discussion? Those are both the open and closed sessions. All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, then we'll move on to item number six, the resolution to repeal 1996 policy resolution 12 and adopt a policy regarding the Kenosha County Department and Division Heads. Yes.
I had a question.
Sure.
If we have time before the committee votes on this. I had a question about the wording of this resolution.
Yes.
In the repeal of policy 12, would the county executive have to state the reason for the removal of the division head if this resolution did pass?
Would you like to answer that, Aaron?
No, when you serve at the pleasure of the county executive, that means you can be let go for any reason at any time.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Yes, David. So,
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I want to state I support the policy, and I thank the vice chair of the board and the chairman of the finance committee to bring this forward. As you know, I was employed by the county for over 30 years and was appointed confirmed many times. I was classified as a department head for most of my tenure. Later in my tenure, I changed to a division head. I don't remember if I was a point confirmed when I changed to a division head, but I do remember going through a point confirmed process many times, and as an employee, I preferred it that way. One of the benefits of this is that the county board does not have employees. We rely on we don't have a county auditor or anyone else we can go to. So that saves money. Other counties do have staff for the county board. But that said, for the very top, let's say C-suite or the very top professionals, we rely on them to get the work done. Now, if we remove the appoint confirm, then there's no scrutiny of the employee that's the potential employee that's getting hired. The county could quietly hire someone that isn't the best person for the job and hire them for other not good reasons. By having the scrutiny of the county board for these very top most important positions, now there's an additional layer of scrutiny. So not only do you reduce or eliminate the ability to hire the best and brightest, you increase the ability to hire the best and brightest by adding an extra layer of review to make sure that one person isn't quietly hiring somebody that really isn't qualified. So again, as an employee, I preferred it that way. I preferred knowing that I was supported by the county executive and the county board, knowing that I was constantly interacting with both the administration and the legislative side of things. I think it reduces gamesmanship. So let's say you want to leave your legacy and you want to impose the administration on a future governing body. Well, you would change this rule and strip away all the department heads, and even though they're doing the exact same work and that has the exact same criticality to it, you're still you're no longer do you have to be appointed and confirmed. So it looks like there's gamesmanship going on there. And the other thing is the county board has a responsibility, the power of the purse, and we shouldn't be relinquishing that responsibility. So it's a very important thing that we have, a very, very important responsibility. Now, the one thing I do want to say, though, is although I support this policy, I would like to refer it back to the administration to address a lot of these issues. I just today got a list of the employees that would be affected. I don't know of how it would be triggered. Does this apply to future employees, or does it apply to all existing employees? And there's a lot of other issues that if we could send it back to the administration, we could get a sign off from our HR, we could get a sign off from legal and finance and learn whether there's any administrative impacts. And I think this is a good practice. We set this procedure up many years ago. It worked. It also lets the county executive weigh in, and then the county executive would sign off on the policy. So although I support this policy and I think it's in the best interest of the county, I would like to refer it back to the administration, have their review of it, and then bring it back at our next meeting. So therefore, I would so move.
All right, is there a second to that? Second, anyone?
For the sake of discussion, I'll second it.
All right. Discussion?
So I make the motion. You know, I mentioned two issues, and today I got the list of who would be affected. I also don't know, does this just apply to future employees that we would hire? And I also don't know what I don't know. I mean, normally when you go through the administrative proposal process, a lot of things get looked at that we don't even think of. So although I think this is a good policy, I would have more comfort if it had the scrutiny of administrative review.
All All right. Any other discussion on, yes?
A couple of comments about, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Couple comments about executive ability to manage the team that's immediately supporting that executive's decision-making, policy implementation, and direction. I've been in situations where we've had mergers of companies, brought different business units together, and the new business unit being absorbed decides, I don't want to be absorbed. You can make all the policies you want, you can tell us all the things you want, you can ask us to do all these things, but we just won't do them. As an executive, to have a team around me that would not be able to be removed if that were the case. In other words, a subversive team that is unwilling to support, you'd want to have that authority. As a business owner, you want to implement your strategies. And sometimes that means having people around you that come along that are signed on to the same strategies. They're very influential. I lost a position, a vice president of sales for North America that way, because the new CEO had a team that they had in place that they were bringing along. It's part of the at-will employment that is traditional everywhere in America, except in government, it seems, where we stay on, and we can be subversive, we can be a part of, we can decide not to, we can decide to. As an executive, I would not take a position that I did not have any control over the team that was directly in aligned with me to execute my responsibilities to make sure I'm delivering on the promise, especially an elected position, the promise that was given to the citizens, and the citizens then said, we elect you because we expect you to deliver on your promise. So I support the resolution. I'm not quite sure what we would glean by sending it back and having it run through. I would think that it's been several weeks and no comment has come up before this evening, so I would support the resolution as is, just my thoughts.
Tim.
Mr. Chairman, I support the resolution. There are other positions in the county that are under this same procedure. It's not something new. I think that's the idea is not a new idea.
All right, thank you. Bill.
Has the administrative committee had a chance to review this? Or have they not had a chance to review it?
We're the administrative.
Well, I suppose what Mr. Gutzen's proposal is to have review as you have presented it. Is that?
Have the administration review, get a legal review, have the county executive review it, have finance review it, have HR review it.
Okay.
And I mentioned two items. I heard one question. I'm not sure what we would glean. I mentioned two items. So one of the items was presented tonight. The other item, I still don't know that. And the third item is, I don't know what item. When I was here as an employee and I worked with my staff, they would make sure that all the I's were dotted and T's were crossed and bring everything to my attention so we didn't have some problem in the future. And so that's what we would glean. You know, there might be eight things that I thought of two of them and I couldn't think of the other six. Again, I think it's a good policy. I think Supervisor Bashaw makes great points, and that's, your leadership should be able to pick their team by having county board confirm that, make sure that you're picking someone qualified, a good candidate for the job. But I would have more comfort with all resolutions like this if they would be vetted through the administration and make sure that we're not running into a legal problem, running into a finance problem. And just as a side note, you're generally going to hear that from me in this committee. I'm going to request that the committee have administrative proposals and that there be a proper administrative review on most policy that we will consider. Want us to get into trouble.
So the point in the matter you're making is that it's not been done to this point. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
I did have minimal discussions on this in order to make sure that I conformed with the laws on being able to do that. And in those discussions, I wasn't able to get answers to my questions.
Well, my comment would be, so if that is the case and it's not gone through these various steps and hurdles, it is a rather significant amount of change in county policy. I would think that I'd want every avenue vetted and investigated, so we're not looking back at this at some future point and saying, oh, we didn't think about this. Are these people included? Are they not included? I would tend to support your resolution, your amendment at this point.
Another point on that is, do we want to approve the position so you can't do this gamesmanship and move them from a department head to a division head to something else? So do we want to address these functions rather than department and division heads? You know, that's another thing that might get addressed.
Oh, in terms of jacking the personnel from classification to classification.
Yeah. I mean, I got moved around with different titles, but I always end up with more work at the end, you know. So
did you pay any more money?
Do they have a Fifth Amendment?
Supervisor Beard.
Joe.
Yes.
Joe has.
Yeah. Joe. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to make it clear I'm not speaking in any way, shape, or form to the merits. I just want to speak to a couple procedural matters and make sure that there's clarification on a couple of things. First of all, what I think Supervisor Beardson is describing, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but is the administrative proposal form and the process that's usually followed when it is a proposal coming from the administration, when it's staff driven. This having been initiated by Supervisors Decker and Rose, didn't go through that particular process because it was being supervisor driven or board driven rather than staff driven. I certainly don't see a reason why, if this committee so chooses, it couldn't be reviewed by staff in terms of looking at it, but just so that it's clear that's the difference, shall we say, procedurally, so why there's no administrative proposal. And again, I don't want to speak for other members of the administration, but I can't imagine that same process wouldn't generally be followed by the administration for administrative-driven proposals. Second, I just want to make sure that a couple things are clarified. One, I thought I understood one of Supervisor Beardson's points, and then I may have understood it differently. Currently, all department and division heads are required to be appointed by the county executive and approved by the county board. So that this resolution wouldn't change that piece of it. That process would still be followed. If the concern from Supervisor Beardson is the ability to somehow game the system in terms of how positions are classified, that is a function of a combination of the exec and the board. The exec would propose it typically as part of the budget. The board would have to approve that, again, typically as part of the budget. If there was going to be any sort of reclassification of a position from a department head to a division head to a something else. So I just want to state that I certainly understand and appreciate the concern, but I want, again, the committee to know that certainly that's my take as to how that process would go forward. Finally, Supervisor Stalker indicated that this is already the process for many other employees. Currently, the only purely at-will employees are the department heads and the immediate staff of the county executive. Division heads and below can only be removed for cause, so this would be extending that shall I say, pure at-will status to the division head, so an additional, shall we say, level down. I would also caution, and certainly again, if there was going to be a further review of this, I could do a deeper dive into it, but I would also just advise the committee that when I say pure at will, I'm sort of using shorthand. While the pleasure of the county executive would mean that generally speaking, department and division heads could be removed for any reason or no reason at all, as Supervisor Decker indicated. As your lawyer, I would have to still caution if we would want to be certain that we weren't putting ourselves at the risk of a claim that the removal was for an improper, by which I mean illegal, reason. We've sort of joked about it in the office a little bit, and I won't repeat it because it's not particularly appropriate for a public meeting, but the point is we would need to be very careful that we were being sure that even with someone who was at will and could be removed at the pleasure of the county executive, that we weren't opening ourselves up to a claim of discriminatory intent or action.
Mr. Chair, through
through
the chair to court counsel, did you say that this list of employees requires a point confirm?
I believe, and I didn't prepare it, but I think I saw it at one point, and my recollection is that everybody that was on there was a division head, and our current policies require all division heads to be appointed and confirmed.
For some reason, I thought only two positions required appointment and confirm.
No, if I can bore everybody for two more minutes.
Please do.
Thank you, I appreciate that. It's so rare that I'm invited. Historically, what happened was, at some point after the creation of the county executive, back in the 1980s, who I believe the first executive inherited a county structure in which almost everybody was a department. And particularly in the pre-county executive years, those departments answered really to the board and more precisely to whoever their oversight committee was, meaning you had a lot. I wasn't here, but my understanding was you had a lot of little fiefdoms, and if you had a good patron on the board, you were going to do okay, and if you didn't, you didn't. It was reorganized in 1995 to large, after we got a county executive, that also meant you had a huge number of people, probably upwards of two dozen, who were reporting directly to the county executive. I assume, and again, I don't know for sure, but I assume that was determined somewhat to be unwieldy, and so we created, at the time, it was four overarching departments with divisions underneath them. By statute, the county executive appoints, as well as supervises, department heads, and it's clear again from the language of the statute that they can be removed at the pleasure of the county executive. When this was being done, one of my predecessors was asked, what about division heads? And the opinion from the office was the division heads had no protection beyond department heads. It was an at-will state, and in the absence of a contract or a policy, everybody was essentially an at-will employee. It was at that point that the then executive and the then board proceeded to enact the existing policy, which again, department heads and the immediate staff of the county executive are at-will. Division heads and below are only removable for cause. And so historically, that's sort of the background as to where we got to where we are.
Okay, again, through the chair to the court counsel. So this list of employees, my understanding of a point confirm is that you have to go through that process with every new administration.
And that is only for the department heads. The division heads, once they are appointed and confirmed, because they can only be removed for cause, stay on until such time as they leave or there is cause to remove them.
And so this resolution would change that and put it back to a point confirm for this list?
A point confirm, and the question then would be whether there would be a point confirm with each new administration or whether, again, it would be a point confirm. That answer I don't have.
My question. Yeah. That's my key question. And can you convert an existing employee to at will, or is it only perspective? You don't know the answer to
that. I have a gut reaction, but those are always bad to hear. So I'd have to look at that more closely.
All right. That sorry for monopolizing the floor, but since we're having court counsel, I really appreciate the chair letting me follow up with that. So.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
To corporate counsel. Did this resolution come through your office?
I was not asked for review at or Bennett, no.
Okay. So it came before. Okay. That answers that question. That's one. Two, if we had a county executive that was, I'm trying to think of a good way to say it, but I'll say it flat out. If we had a county executive that was mentally unstable and decided that they wanted to fire everybody, I would think we'd have other things that would occur. There are federal laws, state laws, local laws, et cetera, regarding employment, employment statutes, hiring, firing, termination, et cetera. So no executive, no CEO has carte blanche in today's world. It doesn't exist unless you want to lose millions and millions of dollars in litigation. So I don't see that as a concern for department heads. If department, I'll say it differently, if department heads are thinking, oh my goodness, they might be able to fire me, well, there's generally a reason why somebody has that thought going through their mind. It's like, oh, they might be able to fire me. Is that going to happen? If you're living in that type of fear already, you should be considering why you're in that position and perhaps improve your performance and consider what you're doing at that moment. That's two. Three, I'd like to call a question.
All right. So
you can't call the question after you've spoken on it.
That's
out of order. You just can't.
Hey, I'm out of order.
You're out of order.
We'll put that in a minute.
Welcome to my life.
Are there any other?
Yes. I see Supervisor Rodriguez has his hand raised, but I'd like to speak after him.
All right, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I understand where Supervisor Geertsen is coming from with the consideration of review, but I don't mean this disrespectfully to any of our new supervisors. I don't want to kid ourselves. I have been the author of many resolutions and ordinances that did not go through this administrative oversight, if you will, that administration came to committee prepared and said, nope, you can't do this because of this reason, or it's not legal because of this reason, or we already do that because of this reason. I think we can all agree that everybody who's on that list, this potential list, and the department heads have read this resolution. They know what's in front of the board tonight, and the county executive does as well. Later tonight, we're going to speak on a different issue that, again, when I brought that issue to this committee in the last term, that night, when it first came to committee, legal was already ready to tell me why it was unconstitutional. I never asked legal to review it. That doesn't mean that they just don't do that. And forgive me, Joe, if I'm overstepping here, but I think if there was something that stood out to you, this isn't a very long resolution at all. If there was something that stood out to Joe or his team, or that our department heads or any of our staff, they would be here tonight telling us, you know, we urge you not to do this because of this reason, or you can't do this because of this reason. And it's for that reason that I would urge the committee not to delay this, because if there was a problem, it would have been highlighted.
Aaron?
Oh, I think, wait.
I'm just going to briefly respond. I was simply asking, or excuse me, simply answering the question. I wasn't asked to review it. I wasn't asked to vet it. I hope I've already demonstrated some degree of being able to speak to it, and I'm happy to answer other questions. I'm not trying to delay. I'm not advocating anything. So I just want to make that clear. And again, I certainly wasn't trying to in any way, shape, or form denigrate anybody. I was answering a question. I wasn't asked.
I don't think you spoke down in favor or against. I'm just saying what I'm saying.
Aaron.
So, I've always written resolutions by myself because a lot of times I wouldn't get support from administration to get help. We have two branches of government here. We have the legislative and the executive. I feel if we have, and Supervisor Geertsen coming from the executive side of things has a whole different view, but my view is we have two branches of government here in the working. Obviously, we have a third with the judicial, but the legislative and the executive, I do not feel the legislative branch should have the executive review everything we do, because that almost is a violation of separation of powers if we're ceding everything we do to have the executive branch review it. That's my opinion. I feel that, just like Supervisor Rodriguez said, if something were unconstitutional or illegal with this resolution, the administration would have brought it up to me. The previous resolution that I brought forward, I did have some people from different departments contact me and ask me to voice their concerns, and I took their concerns into consideration and made amendments to my previous resolution because of their concerns. I heard no concerns whatsoever from anyone, even Corporation Counsel. I believe he would have brought something forward to me if he thought something was not correct or possibly illegal. I know he does a great job doing, you know, he's done it before. So I don't think he's afraid to let us know if he feels something isn't right. But I do understand your question about, is this retroactive, or is this move for employees moving forward, or does this take effect with the employees that are hired now? I believe we can, after we vote on your motion, we could actually propose a motion to amend this resolution to clarify that wording. So that's all I have.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. We don't have staff, so legislative bodies like the state legislature will submit their documents to their council. We have one court council, so we, in order to save money, we don't have our own council, we don't have our own auditor. So, you know, that's the way we work. So in order to determine whether it's legal, you know, we have to have a lawyer take a look at it and let us know. If we were to dismiss someone at will who had rights under the old policy, we could end up with a liability from that. And I would like to know legally what it is we're able to do. The other thing is, I wouldn't assume that the administration is always, I mean, is that correct? If you see the county board proposing policy, would you come forward, would court counsel, would you come forward and let us know that there was some significant issue? Is that, can we assume that to be correct?
Clearly my job isn't to speak to policy, it's not to make policy, it's not to opine on policy. If I see a significant legal or constitutional issue, I do think I have some obligation at that point to try and bring that.
So you would do that. And to the finance director, if you saw some significant financial issue on a legislative policy that hadn't gone through an administrative review, would you bring that to our attention? Can we assume you would do that?
That's an interesting question, because it has been an area of concern for finance in the past. The resolutions come forward that we are not asked to look into, and we're not exactly sure what our role is in that point.
And I don't need to ask the other administrators. I just think, and I understand that the board is independent. It's in it, you know, under the Constitution, and the separation of duties, but I still, you know, think an administrative review, knowing that we share staff and don't have our own staff, is a good practice to make sure we don't get ourselves into trouble. So I yield the floor.
All right, any other discussion from anyone? So you would like, the motion is to refer this to the administration for, one, a legal opinion, and two, an opinion as to whether or not the county executive supports it, or?
Well, it would go through the administrative proposal process, where it would get a finance review, a legal review, and then the executive would sign off.
All right, so you know what you're voting on here. Why don't we take the roll call? The referral is yes, opposition no.
Yes.
No.
No.
Aye.
No.
No.
Aye.
Fail.
All right, so what's your pleasure?
I would move the resolution as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, what about the issue that was raised? Is it the committee's intent, and I think we need to answer this, does this apply exclusively to newly appointed people, or does it apply to all of those people who currently hold those positions, in other words, retroactively? I think that should be clarified one way or the other, so.
Supervisor Rodriguez is behind
you. Oh.
I just have a question.
Sorry. Yeah.
Through the chair to maybe the chair, whoever else can answer this. But when this was changed in 96, what was the position then? My understanding is that it affected everybody who was currently on the team, and I think if that's the case, then I think that's what is appropriate here.
That was my recollection. I was on the board when this was. This is not a. It's new for us today. This was the John Collins policy. He appointed, the board confirmed, and he could discharge people with cause or without cause. No cause. That was his position. I think you were appointed finance director under that proposition.
That was the at-will promotion.
Yes. And in the state of Wisconsin, unless you have a union contract, which sets forth the terms of your employment, or you have an individual contract with your employer, employment is at will.
Or a policy like this one.
Yes, correct. So if you don't fall into one of those categories, you are an employee at will. You can't be fired for certain reasons because of your race or religion or the traditional discriminatory categories. Other than that, employment is at will. And so keep in mind, this was the position that was the Kenosha County position under John Collins for, was he 8 years or 10 years?
He was 12.
12 years. And it was changed as he was toward the end of his term, is my recollection. So this is not something unique. It's a reversion to the old Collins policy, if you will. That's the way I look at it. Yes?
Just a point of information. When you look at the verbiage in this resolution as we have it here, isn't really the salient point that instead of just having department heads serve at the pleasure of the county executive, you now have division heads included as well? Isn't that really the long short of it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just want to make sure I understand the protocol.
And it's the same process as department heads.
Right. It's including them in the same category now,
mm-hmm.
potentially, if this passes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah.
So, if the county executive doesn't want someone to work, this policy doesn't make a difference. This is actually making it more open and more obvious. If the county executive wants to get rid of someone, they can just let them go. Under the policy we have right now, the county executive could make that employee's life miserable, basically force them out, come up budget time, eliminate the position, then they're gone, change the position to a different position, then they're gone.
Right.
So this is actually like kind of more honest than what we have right now. Because it happened in the past.
Yeah.
We know it did. So this way we know that someone left because of the county executive and not because they retired, and they really didn't want to retire, they were forced out. So that's just my opinion. And if someone wants to make or add that this is for current employees, I'm open to that suggestion if we want to make that amendment. I don't know, Corporation Counsel, do you believe that's required to clarify? No? Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Okay.
A comment, and then it's my impression from talking to employees of the county as a candidate. I stopped at 2,000 doors, and I've talked to a number of employees of the county, that they felt they worked in a hostile, threat-based environment. I'll say it that way. So your comment a few minutes ago, we're not sure how we should or if we should, I would say speak freely. That would be my preference and the way things should be. Even if sometimes you put yourself in jeopardy, I'm not one to hold my tongue, even if it puts me in jeopardy, because it needs to be said. I don't always agree with my executive if it needs to be said. That's the way life should be. So press forward, but I would propose a modification to the be a further resolved in the resolution that may create some bumpers on the alley, so to speak. So the last sentence, any department head or division head under the be it further resolved, I would propose adding language that says following legal process, guidance, and policy. Maybe remove following legal process, guidance, and policy at the pleasure of the county executive. So if the fear is a county executive that comes off the rails and just willy-nilly, I don't like the color of your hair, you're fired. We create some legal boundaries that say you must still comply by the laws.
I would second that.
Can you state that once again?
The very last sentence.
Yeah.
Any department head, division head appointed by the county executive may be removed, and the addition is following legal process, guidance, and policy at the pleasure of the county executive.
I have a question to the legality of that.
Yeah.
I use this wording from the state statutes, and the hiring and the firing, or the employment of department heads and how they serve at the will of the county executive, that is in state statutes, and I don't believe we can supersede state statutes on that, saying that, I mean, that's what's in state statutes, and that's where I picked the wording up.
I understand. A comment to that would be, it's not diminishing the state statute, in my opinion. It is confirming that there are federal laws related to hiring and firing.
It's putting limits on the county, I'm sorry.
Please.
It's putting limits on, in my opinion, on how the county executive can hire and fire a department head, which is in state statutes, which then, in my opinion, violates state statutes.
What do you see as that? What does that mean? Legal, would you say legal policy or legal process?
In my experience, an executive should have the ability to terminate.
Okay.
But they should terminate with legal grounds. Not, like I said, I don't like the color of your hair. I don't like the church you attend. I don't like the liquor you drink. Whatever. An executive that starts operating freelance from the law is then bringing the county into the position, or the business into the position, of legal liability, legal risk. So all I'm proposing is inserting a little language, modify it, propose a modification if you feel one is better. I'm not a lawyer. But a modification to the language to recognize that there are laws that still must be abided by, even if an executive has discretion to terminate.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, thank you. As the seconder of the motion, the way I understood it, and I think we're in harmony, is that the executive would, prior to dismissing someone under the law, confirm that it is lawful and go to our attorney to confirm that, which would pretty much jive with everything we said, that we wouldn't, she knows exactly what the law lets her do and would make sure that she was following the law when she took action, by just double checking with the court counsel. But did you think that's in harmony with
that? That is very much what I'm thinking. Okay. And it keeps one of the county executives' responsibilities is to protect the county from harm as well.
That's
so.
So you're using the word legal process or legal policy? What did you say?
I said, come back on, following legal process, guidance, and policy.
Okay. So to me, legal process means due process, which means some sort of hearing. And are we just kind of flipping the whole thing?
We don't mean that.
No, I don't think we do.
We don't. There's no due process. It's at will, which the due process is at will, which is what the law says.
You have something to say?
Yeah, I do, but I see Claire's raising her hand, so I'll defer to her.
All right, go ahead.
If I may ask the question. So, are you seeking to ensure that it's for a lawful reason? So even with that will, you really don't want to separate with someone unless it's for a lawful reason, because you will open yourself up to a termination claim. So perhaps simply just lawful.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, lawful, to me, lawful reason means, and we're going back for cause, we're just changing the whole resolution. Yes.
Well, no. Can I go? Hold on. It's a bird.
You two fight over.
My concern, and we had an issue, like I said, the Judiciary and Law Committee, where in an effort, I think, to make things more clear, it made things a lot more murky. I think adding language like this is not warranted. Just, you know, this is, in essence, reminding the county executive you have to follow the law. That's a given. We leave our house every day. We know we have to follow the law. The county executive, regardless of who he or she is at any point in time, can't fire somebody for those reasons that you stated. That's already against the law. We don't need to remind our county executive that you can't fire somebody simply because you don't like the church that they go to, or the color of their skin, or whatever the case may be. And so I don't think that's warranted, because it's already the law. We don't need to reiterate federal or state law, or cast shadows into whether are we trying to supersede that or not. And the intent can be to not supersede state and federal law. But why do you put the language in there if it causes clouds over it, so to speak? That's what I'm
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much I was going to say the same thing, because of will, then by putting that, seeing that I'm a lawful, willful, and will, I understand this, for no reasons, they don't have to say the reason where they can replace a person. But if you put it in there, then you would have to show that it is something illegal to do, so it would not be a will anymore. And like Terry said, by doing a lawful, whatever process, you would have to go through a hearing or a court or whatever to do it.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I don't want to speak for the maker of the motion, but our intent wasn't to say that there's this due process, putting it back to the old system where, you know, they had to go through those procedures. Our intent was to make sure that the dismissal was lawful. And so, for example, there's a list here. Many of these employees all of these positions are filled. They were filled under the old procedure. And my question is, do they immediately become at will, or are they entitled to the rights under the old procedure? I don't know any. I don't have an answer to that. So the executive, if for some reason there needed to be a change, the executive would, I hope, go to court counsel and to HR and confirm that I have the right to do this at will now versus the old procedure. We don't know the answer to that. I would go to court counsel to get an answer to that. And the way I understood the motion, although we could tweak the language to make sure there isn't some idea that we're going through this ancient process, that we really just mean that it will be confirmed that the action is lawful. And like the one I just mentioned, I don't know if that's lawful. I don't know if we know that.
Yeah.
So if a county exec is going to do something right now, if under this resolution they were going to do something unlawful, there would still be the ability to go, you know, fix that. Adding that word or words doesn't change that. That county exec can still blow right by that that wording. And so I don't see how the wording actually protects us. That's all I got to say.
All right, further discussion here?
I want to respond to Supervisor Rodriguez. An executive, a CEO, can terminate any time for any reason and make some rash judgments, some calls that invite lawsuits, at times willingly inviting a lawsuit. So to say that a county executive would not do that, I think, is an erroneous statement and short-sighted. They may very well do that. So having any language that creates a proviso that says legal review. A smart executive does make the phone call. I could terminate people any day I wanted to, but I would always call legal first. I want to terminate. Here's my grounds. What are your thoughts? We have some exposure. Okay, we have some exposure. How bad? Well, the risk isn't too bad. Good, I'm terminating. And we move on. But at least it invited the discussion before the walk through the department and I didn't like something. So, in response to your statement. In response to the language, I am willing to modify the language if there's a proposal to modify. Otherwise, I'd say vote on it, say no. It's just as simple.
Further discussion, John?
Yeah, I still think that it's clouding this, and like Aaron said, you know, let's go by what the state statute says. That's what I believe.
Okay, if there's no further discussion here from anyone, let's take a vote on it by roll call. And do you want to just once again restate the language?
The language is, any department head, division head appointed by the county executive may be removed, inserting language following legal process, guidance, and policy, continuing at the pleasure of the county executive.
All right. Vote in favor is to support it. Opposed? Yes. We'll start with Dave.
Yes. You made the motion.
I know I made the motion, but the discussion with proposed modification in the language, I'm willing to make that change. So, but I still support having it in there, yes.
All right. Yeah. You were noting?
Correct.
Bill?
Aye.
No.
No.
No. So, I missed.
It fails.
It fails. Yes.
Further discussion.
I would move the motion as presented.
Second. Oh, you already moved it earlier.
It's already moved.
It's on the floor.
It's on the table.
That was
on
the amendment died.
Yes. So
I would move the previous motion.
All right. Any other?
Supervisor Rodriguez.
This is the last time I'm going to talk.
Sure it
is. On this. On this. So the reason I'm going to urge the committee to support this tonight, and I'm not accusing the current administration of staff, the previous administration and his staff, but you need to look at this from lots of different angles. And I look back at the Keel administration, and many of us know how that ended with the resignation and a resignation because of criminal charges, and then an eventual conviction and prison sentence. This would allow, you know, God forbid, we're ever in a situation where we have a corrupt county executive's office and staff. This allows for, after we see the removal, resignation, or loss in an election, the new county executive to come in and get rid of that corruption where it may still be. And, you know, think of it that way. Again, another facet of this may be what we saw in this most recent election here in Kenosha County this past April was the then county executive support his candidate as he had a right to do, who he wanted to continue his legacy, who said herself she wanted to continue the legacy of the outgoing county executive, and the legacy in part was his staff, and many of which, or probably nearly all of which, he had made the appointments to throughout his tenure. And Kenosha County voters said, no, we don't want a continuation of that legacy. And you had the candidate who ran on making change and doing things differently win. And I think if we don't support this tonight, and if the board doesn't support this when it gets to the county board, it's a poke in the eye to the voters of Kenosha County who said, we want change in the county executive's office, and we want change in how county policy and procedure is done and taken about. And so it's for those reasons that should this pass tonight and it get to the county board, I'll be supporting it, and I would encourage you all to support it tonight as well.
All right, so if you vote for this, are we voting then to apply this new policy to current staff? It's not just...
That is what that's court your counsel legal said.
Thing,
yep.
Yes?
I believe it would.
Okay. All right, just so we're clear on that. All right, any other discussion before we vote?
Sure, I'll make my statement. This is going to pass tonight. I think there's really not a lot of point in debating it, because the votes are here, obviously, but I would ask you to consider this. When you have your branches of the government, executive, legislative, judicial, we don't have that exactly here in Kenosha. We have executive, legislative, in this case, administration. Executive is the office of the county exec. Legislative, that's us. Administration is the other component. So essentially what you're doing is you're wanting to concentrate power more with the office of the county executive. So it's not a personal thing that I'm addressing, it's the office. It's the person we're not talking about. We're talking about the power that resides there. So whether it's the current one, the past one, if we're having a conversation about the former county executive, and this was coming before me right now, I would say I have my reservations about it, because we're concentrating power. We're taking away from one, we're giving to another. Second point is, if there's a problem with civil service, as we had in the past, this Resolution 12, I think it would have come forward previously. I think we would have been seeing more manifestations of it, and we'd have to do something about it. And I do realize that even though without this, certainly the county executive can lean upon the department head and say, I want so-and-so gone as a division head, make it happen, or you're gone. So, I mean, that's certainly there, too. But when I look at this, this smacks of big city politics. This is what you see in Milwaukee. This is what you see in Chicago. This is what you see when you open the door for political patronage. Oh, I don't like the way you're doing things. You better do things my way if you want a job. You better think my way. And then it was kind of brought to the point we talked about the health department and their autonomy. I mean, whether you agree or you don't agree about how the health department handled the COVID crisis, it's not really the question. The question is, that person did their best what they thought was appropriate at the time. Now, if it's one of these things where the person is at will for the county exec, oh, I don't like your policy on the mask mandate, whatever, we're going to switch that. You are concentrating power. And it's not just for this county executive, it will happen in perpetuity, unless, of course, you dig back into it. And whenever concentration of power occurs, I always have, it's red flag. Why are we doing this? So it's going to pass. That's my two bits. Thank you for your attention.
Anyone else? You know, before we take a vote, I think it should be made clear, this is not directed toward any particular person who holds office. It's a policy that I think is a good policy. It's one of that was held true under the 12 years of John Collins. I think it worked well. It's not directed at any person. I'm not going to name names. I've heard some people say that to me. It's directed at X. And I told them on the phone this week, that isn't the case at all. And so I don't think any of us should walk away here in the audience, or those who may read the paper tomorrow or listen to the radio, that we're out after some person who currently holds office. Not true. I think this is a better policy. It's the policy of the governor of the state of Wisconsin. It's the policy of the president of the United States. Cabinet people don't hold office indefinitely, be it in the president's cabinet or the governor's. And I don't see why that isn't true here. So unless there's someone else who wants to speak, I think we'll vote. All those in favor? Yes, I'm sorry.
Have the vote from the youth and governance.
Oh, all right, thank you. All right, we'll start at my left, to your right.
Are we voting on
the policy
voting
itself?
The policy that we've been discussing.
I would say no.
No, okay. Yes, I didn't mean yes, folks. I go yes, vote. Yeah.
The other vote. I'm going to have to say no.
All right, thank you. And we'll start with Dave.
Aye.
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 Nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, it passes, and it'll be presented to the county board at the next meeting. All right, very good. Then we'll move on to the item number 7, presented by Supervisor Thomas. I do want to tell you that he contacted me and said that he wanted to be here, but he can't be here this evening. You know, one of your options is to put it off to another meeting to give him the opportunity to speak.
Terry, I see yes? that the racial and ethnic commission. I saw several commissioners.
I believe it's done.
So he might be in the back room just chit-chatting.
I believe it's
done. Well,
you can go
ask him, but
his wife
went
to
check.
Yeah,
sure. I see
he's back.
Here.
His wife went to check.
You're up.
All right, hello. All right, so this is Supervisor Thomas with the resolution before us, number 7 on the agenda. And why don't you go ahead?
Okay, so I didn't know I was going to be here at this time because I just got out of another meeting, so I had to switch gears in my head. The premise of this resolution was based upon, oh, right, yeah, that would be helpful. Yeah, so I didn't bring any of this stuff with me. The premise of the resolution is based upon the private money that was gone through non-for-profits and given to different cities. Five primarily within the state of Wisconsin, Kenosha, Racine, Madison, Milwaukee, and Green Bay, to different amounts. Earlier today, individually, I emailed the members of the committee that document. And Kenosha, City of Kenosha, received over $800,000 to follow a contract that they all had to sign or agree to in part and to hold the election in a certain way and do different things. Now granted, this resolution, we as a county, we don't hold any elections, but we support the elections in this county. And so it's more of a symbolic thing that the election process and election funding has been done through county funds or state funds or federal funds for as long as there's been elections. I can go back to the late 1700s on how those elections were funded, but I'm sure it was through, it wasn't through private money or charitable money given running the election a certain way. So I think it casts a shadow on some of the processes that were implemented during this last election that were beyond our state statutes. And I don't think that would be something that we would want to have to deal with going forward in that regard. So that was the basis of that. And so to be real honest, I'm all new to this, making a resolution and have to come and talk on it. So forgive me if I'm not doing everything across a T and dot and I. But that was the premise of the resolution.
All right. Further discussion, Aaron?
Reggie spoke earlier, and I didn't write it down because I have it on my lap or my computer, my iPad. What were your concerns, Reggie, if you could restate them?
Sure. Specifically the deadline.
The actual wording.
Yeah. So on paragraph 2, mm-hmm. where at the last sentence in there where it says it is not legal for elected officials, tax-paid employees to conduct GOTV campaigns. My comment was that the county clerk's office has not and does not and historically has not conducted or participated in any get out the vote campaigns. Since this is a county resolution, this paragraph implies that county elected officials have conducted GOTV campaigns, which is not true for Kenosha County, therefore that should be removed.
Okay, and the next, please.
The next one, paragraph 7, whereas the citizens of Kenosha County are concerned that Kenosha County or election officials in Kenosha County might knowingly or unwillingly accept private or corporate funds from organizations such as Center for Tech and Civic Life, my opinion on this is the statement implies improper action on part of an elected official or the county, and that it should be clarified that there's a process in place for accepting grant and donation funds, which is outlined in the municipal code, the ordinance 211, before any grant or donation funds can be expensed, a resolution needs to be brought before the finance committee for authorization to modify the budget. If it is approved by finance, then it would go to the county board to be voted on, and the bottom line is the board has final say. And then in paragraph 8, now therefore be it resolved that the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors directs that policy of the county shall be no donation or grant shall be accepted from any person or non-governmental entity for the purposes of election administration, including but not limited to collection of ballots and voter registrations. I would request that last line, the portion including but not limited to collection of ballots or voter registrations, be removed, because it is an incorrect statement. The receipt of ballots and voter registration is a function of the municipal clerk, and it is not a function of the chief election officer, the county clerk.
Thank you. Okay, so I'd like to make some comments on Reggie's issues there. On the second, whereas the statement is not, that she's concerned about, is not legal for elected officials, taxpayer employees, to conduct GOTV or GOTV campaigns. When I read that, I do not read that it implies that Kenosha County did any of this. It is just stating a fact that it is not legal for elected officials, taxpayer employees, to conduct GOTV campaigns. So I do not have an issue with that wording. Then on the last, whereas, the citizens of Kenosha County are concerned that Kenosha County or elected officials, election officials in Kenosha County might knowingly or unknowingly accept private or corporate funds from organizations such as the Center for Tech and Civic Life. It's true. The citizens of Kenosha County are concerned. And when we're saying Kenosha County here, it's not saying Kenosha County elected officials. We're talking all the elected officials in Kenosha County. And the citizens are concerned. Maybe not all of them, but citizens. It doesn't say all citizens. It says the citizens of Kenosha County are concerned that Kenosha County or elected officials in Kenosha County might knowingly or unknowingly accept private or corporate funds. It's citizens are concerned. So in my opinion, that statement is also true, and there's no implication that we're speaking about Kenosha County specifically. Now, the third issue that Reggie had with the now therefore be it resolved, I agree with Reggie with that the wording including but not limited to collection of ballots or voter registrations should be removed, because we, like Reggie said, that is not the job of Kenosha County election officials. That is the job of municipal election officials. And since a now therefore be it resolved is an action instead of a whereas, where it's like stating fact or opinion, mostly fact, that is an action, and I think we should keep our actions to what Kenosha County can actually do. And citizens of Kenosha County don't know what the county clerk's job is for elections. They just kind of, most people actually think like the county clerk is like the boss of all the municipal clerks. They do. And I know that's not true, but obviously I'm a little bit more involved in elections than most people. So I want to make sure that this is clear, that citizens know that the county clerk does not do the collection of ballots or voter registration. So I would like to make a motion to remove the wording including but not limited to collection of ballots or voter registrations.
Second.
All right, discussion? Nothing? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oh, sorry. You have to vote first, and then we follow you. You set the pace. Go ahead.
No.
All right. All right. Very good. We'll take a roll call then, Dave.
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. All right. Almost unanimous. Bill.
I support this resolution. I'd like to thank Mr. Thomas for bringing it forward. It is largely symbolic, and I think it is a good policy precedent. If I'm not mistaken, doesn't Walworth County have a similar type resolution?
And I think Rock County's in the process of considering it. Could have passed Rock County by, but there's a number of counties and cities, Green Bay being the most prevalent, that's addressing this in a similar way.
You know, our state has had a good long track record, I think, of clean, well-run elections, and I wouldn't want to see it go any other way. But I do take our county clerk's comments to heart, and I would offer this friendly amendment, and it could be stated as a whereas, thank you for delineating between whereas and be further resolved. And it could have something to this effect. Whereas, the government of Kenosha County in the past has not applied for, received, nor spent any funds from outside sources as it relates to political elections administration administered by the County of Kenosha.
Right. Is there a second?
Second, for the sake of discussion.
Okay. Discussion? Aaron?
I'd like, through the chair, to ask Reggie, have, specifically on that wording, have we accepted funds from the state of Wisconsin?
Right, so you have to be specific on your wording about private funds.
Okay.
Non-government entities, if that's what you want. We have accepted from the state and federal funds that help because of the HAVA Act. That,
so if it were to be restated, whereas the government of Kenosha County in the past has not applied for, received, nor spent any private funds from outside sources as it relates to political elections administered by the County of Kenosha. It's a mouthful, it's a long sentence.
Yeah, it is. It's similar to what I had said, that I would like to see it reflect that the county clerk and Kenosha County has not applied for, received, or participated in grants or funds. And I specifically said from the Civic Center, but I would say participated in grants or funds from private.
So let's do this. Let's parse it out. Everyone can have a kick at the can if you think it's worthwhile to do. And we'll make it more succinct, more to your liking. And this is just what I have, Aaron, if you want to take a look at the bottom.
I seconded it, but I would, adding the word private, is that a friendly amendment?
Yes, I mean, that is the suggestion
key.
Of our county clerk, that we say private in there, because we do take funds from mm-hmm. both the state and the Fed, right? Okay.
So I agree with that friendly amendment, so okay. As a seconder motion. You want to repeat it one more time for everyone?
Yeah, one more time. Whereas the government of Kenosha County in the past has not applied for, received, nor spent any private funds from outside sources as it relates to the political elections administered by the County of Kenosha.
All right, discussion on that?
Just, there's one thing I do want to clarify. To our knowledge, the only recipient of the funds has been the City of Kenosha, is that correct? Okay, so no Bristol, no Salem.
In the county.
No Bristol, no Salem, no Twin Lakes, no.
I can't confirm that, but
that's our impression at this point.
That's my understanding. Yes, it's only the City of Kenosha.
Yes.
I would say I have the list downstairs, and it is only the City of Kenosha for the County of Kenosha.
Okay. That's our supposition.
The other thing I would like to confirm, since I've been in this office for a long time, but I have not been clerk all of these years, I'm not sure about if you have to do something with the language. Because it's to my knowledge that we have not, but I don't know if in years past the county has taken any kind of private sourcing. That I'm not aware of. So I don't know if you have to be careful with the way that part of it is worded. I don't know.
What are you saying?
What's
that? What are you saying to your knowledge? So.
Yeah, Tim.
All right, any other discussion here? Brian?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. As Reggie was speaking, I was playing with words as well. Mm-hmm. Similar thing to make the recognition and accommodation of it. So I avoided private, but extended it further. External or private funds through grants, donations, or non-governmental entities, because private can be, well, I'm a private company, or I'm a private this, but it could be a non-governmental entity. It could be a lot of things. So I just expounded to make it more clarity, and I think I pulled that clarity directly from the verbiage in the resolution.
Further discussion? All right, John.
I'm inclined to go along with what you said there, but I have concerns like, what about the millions of dollars that ARPA has given to the state of Wisconsin? What are they going to do with it? Can that be used for this? Could that be then funneled down, thus overriding anything in this?
Well, that's public money, though.
Yeah, that's public money. That's not private money.
Yeah, so I think the answer is yes. But that is, this resolution was focused for private, not public. Mm-hmm. Any other discussion?
It seems like this is all to try and clarify that Kenosha County didn't receive any
Correct.
Of this money.
Precisely.
But I think if you read the first whereas, it's very clear. It lists out who actually received the money. And so in there, it doesn't say Kenosha County. It says the city. Well, it doesn't say the city, but the city's up.
Yeah, cities.
So to me, that's the clarification that we, you know.
Yes.
The Center for Tech and Civic Life did not just give to Milwaukee, Madison, Racine, Kenosha,
Correct.
Green Bay. They just gave $8.8 million right. to those five.
Okay.
They gave money right. throughout the state to okay. even small municipalities, you know, like maybe $1,000 or $5,000. So,
and so we don't know for sure then where all that money went?
No, we can't. Reggie, actually.
We do have the list, but okay. it's not that these five are exclusive. They're just the ones that got the biggest chunk.
Yeah. Okay.
So I just okay. want to clarify that.
Yeah. No, then, okay, I don't mind clarifying it then.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, can I just ask for a repeat of the motion?
Well, here is what I would suggest at this point. I included private, but I think Brian brings up a good point. Instead of private, what if we just said non-governmental funds from outside sources as it relates to political elections? Would that satisfy what we're trying to do here?
In the resolution, the wording is used private or corporate funds. So I'm just, that's how the resolution is worded.
So if we just change it to private or corporate funds, is that going to do what we want it to do? Private / corporate funds.
I like the non-governmental because we just
Doesn't
talked
matter.
About
I was just
ARPA, et cetera. Those
okay,
are governmental
so,
based.
So state what you would do instead of private, you would refer to?
I would simply insert the word non-governmental. Too many syllables.
No non-governmental donation or grant. Is that what you mean?
Mm-hmm. Non-governmental funds.
No non-governmental donation or grant in this section here.
That'd be fine.
Between the word that.
Yeah, that'd be fine. And it's, elections are a government process. It's an institution of government. When private money starts coming into it, you're basically buying elections. You're swaying elections. You're utilizing your influence of your wallet to sway, and that shouldn't happen. So any way we can exclude it, and the language I think is clean in my mind.
All right, are we ready to vote on the amendment?
What is the language now? I guess I'm
Is there some way to get it on the screen?
No, because you had it written.
So we're talking about replacing private with what?
Private or non-governmental funds.
Non-governmental funds. Keeps it clean.
I mean, I could type it in a Word document if you guys want me to.
Yeah, because I was trying to figure out how we get it.
It would be helpful if you would.
If it passes.
Okay, should we try a dictation? Ready?
This is my first time. So.
You're not a court.
No, I'm an accountant. I deal with numbers.
Not a wordsmith. Well, just so use the top row keys, then use all the others. All right,
let's see. Okay.
And whereas is better than be it further resolved, correct?
Correct.
Okay, all right. Whereas the government of Kenosha County in the past has not applied for, received, nor spent any non-governmental funds. And then we do have from outside sources here. Maybe we just eliminate from outside sources.
Yeah.
And say, as it relates to the political elections, administered by the County of Kenosha. Still a mouthful.
And I accept your friendly amendment of the non-governmental.
Since I seconded the motion.
All right, larger, shall we vote then?
And we have that read back. We should have read back.
Tim, go ahead.
I had a question for Reggie through the chair. How long have you been in a position of knowing where the money came from?
Well, I've been in the office for 18 years. I'm not aware. That's why I wanted to clarify that this is not applied for,
received.
But the knowledge that I have, I am not aware of any other funds being used by to administer elections that have not been governmental funds. But I can't be sure because.
How far can you go back and be sure? How many years?
Well,
because I'm thinking that if we say how.
Since January of 2020, I have not.
Okay, I think that's what we should say.
Can we say whereas the government of Kenosha County
in recent memory?
No.
Did not. That's last week.
Did not apply for, receive, nor spend any governmental funds in the 2020 election, as it relates to the political elections.
Yeah, I think it needs to be more specific.
Yeah, that would be good. In 2020.
Because that's where people are concerned.
I mean, January 2020 is when I was appointed, so that's when I had control over.
Yeah, that's the date I think that we
could. Or we could just say in 2020.
Whereas the government of Kenosha County.
In the 2020 election cycle.
Did not
apply for them.
I don't want to muddy the waters, but two questions. As was pointed out,
apply.
If any money had been received, it would have had to have been approved by the county board.
Correct.
To accept
correct
grant money. Do you have any recollection of there ever being any other monies?
No.
Receive goes to receive. Take off the D.
I still think we can just keep.
I'm not objecting to the language.
I don't remember it either.
And spend goes
back to
spend.
1985.
Right.
Yeah.
Where do you want this answer?
So you and I don't remember it.
That was
from 85 and 86.
I think it's towards the end, but wherever you want it.
Yeah, where?
Write that on here.
Probably the final word.
All right, so are we now ready to vote?
I'm wondering if it would be better under the first one.
Right away.
It's entirely up to the maker of the document.
That's what we're clarifying.
Sure, fine.
I was just going to say, I think after the second,
either one
so then add a semicolon in the word and at the after Kenosha.
Correct on this.
Or a colon. Well, he's got it both ways. After, semicolon, and then and.
Semi.
Or colon. He's got it both ways, so.
sorry, you volunteered.
Did you just perform a colonoscopy?
Yes.
By taking a colonoscopy?
I would also.
Now we understand what happens.
Must be getting late.
So we're now ready to vote, is that correct?
Thank you, Brian. I'm glad somebody appreciated it.
All right, any other discussion before we vote here?
Mr. Chairman,
I just
want to say that I'm in agreement with informally addressing the amendment that was on the floor. The way it changed from the original amendment to this ultimate language.
Yes.
I understand the time has passed, but I would just like to have on the record that after further discussion and further thinking, I do support the resolution. That's number 7.
As amended.
Good. Any other discussions?
Okay, right. So this is on the amendment.
On the amendment.
All right, on the amendment, we will vote satisfied with the voice vote.
Yes.
All those in favor?
No. These guys first.
Yikes.
Go ahead, you.
Aye.
So this is on the amendment.
Aye. All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It passes unanimously. And now on the resolution as amended, further discussion?
Move to call the question.
All right, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is unanimous, and I assume that you two voted with your voice, correct? All right, well, that concludes it. It does pass. It'll go to the committee of the board on Tuesday. Why don't you present this on behalf of the Finance Committee? We passed it, and you're the author of it, so why don't you...
And someone can
make the presentation.
And then someone here can share with me how I'm supposed to do that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just a reminder, both of these, I believe, are policy resolutions. So they'll be on Tuesday's agenda for a first reading that won't be presented and voted on until the first meeting in July.
All right. Very good.
Okay. So I'm still presenting it?
You're still presenting it, but not this Tuesday. It'll be a first reading. It'll be the following
meeting. Third Tuesday.
Yeah.
Plenty of time to do your homework.
First.
You and I won't have much. You and I won't.
First Tuesday.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. So we're signing this resolution, and they'll retype it.
I didn't cross out the line you first amended. That was easy, but to write all that in the
Sorry.
And thank you for suggesting we put it up on the screen and type those amendments.
All right, so we have the audit of bills in front of us, and that's been done. Are there any audit reports?
That is the audit of the bills.
Okay, that's nothing different.
Correct.
All right, so then we have Department of Administration reports, if there are any.
Human Resources has it.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Youth and Governance, Clara Tappa, Director of Resources of the County. I have an informational item for my report this evening related to Brookside staffing. So, we've been monitoring our staffing challenges at Brookside very carefully over the last few months. Recruitment is difficult. It's difficult all over, of course, particularly in healthcare, particularly with CNAs. Many people have left the healthcare industry since COVID, and we are unfortunately not immune to the staffing challenges. We met recently with the county executive, as well as the county board chair was there as well, to make some proposals in terms of staffing incentives for Brookside and Willowbrook to help alleviate some of those scheduling and staffing challenges. So we took the approach, as you can see there, with wages. For CNA, Certified Nursing Assistants, on that sheet you see the pay grade for them, the minimum, midpoint, and maximum. So for CNAs who were at 1710 or above, we moved them to the top of the pay grade. CNAs that were less than 1710 but employed longer than a year got moved to the midpoint of 1710. And then CNAs moved to 1710 at their one-year anniversary when they hit that. And then RRAs, or resident assistants, which served Willowbrook, we took that same approach. This approach, just to clarify, was effective June 5th. We tried to make it effective as soon as possible, again, to address staffing and scheduling challenges at the approval of the county executive. So in addition to wage adjustments, we adjusted some shift differentials. At the time, second shift differential was at 30 cents. We increased that for RAs, LPNs, and CNAs to 75 cents an hour. And for third shift, while CNAs were at a dollar, RAs and LPNs were not, so we have increased their third shift premium to a dollar as well. We are particularly challenged on the weekends, so we have added some additional premium for the CNAs and RA employees who pick up weekend shifts that are not their regular schedule. So when we have call-ins or people out because of various reasons and we have those shifts opened up, this is to try to encourage folks who weren't otherwise scheduled to pick up those shifts. So if they do that, they get paid the top rate of the pay grade. If they are already at that, we've increased that to a $2 an hour weekend premium, again, for picking up a weekend shift that they weren't already scheduled for. And then we kicked off an employee referral bonus. So any employee at Brookside or Willowbrook that refers a CNA, they get a referral bonus for themselves. And then the employee that was referred gets one as well once that employee reaches the 6 month point. So it's both a combination of an employee referral and retention bonus. And the amount varies based on the posting that those employees accept and serve in.
Questions? Yes.
When they're picking up weekends, how does overtime work? Or do they not, are they getting time and a half for the 19, at
19.13
an hour?
If they hit the 40. Overtime.
Okay, all right, yeah. Just wondering, thank you.
Further discussion, John?
Yeah, do you have an estimated cost of what this would be?
Yes, we anticipate the cost for Brookside will be approximately $120,000, and for Willowbrook about approximately $10,000.
A year?
For the remainder of this year.
Okay.
This would be built, any of these changes that remain will be built into the budget for 2023 and become part of that salary appropriation. At this point, we do not expect that they will overexpend their salary appropriation because of the vacancies that they've had. But if it should come to that towards later in the year, we may come forward with a budget modification to increase the salary appropriation and use whatever revenue is available, which could include ARPA funds.
Anyone else? Anything else, Mark?
No.
All right, thank you. Any other reports?
There are no other reports, but I did want to update the committee that we did receive our second tranche of ARPA funds last week, Thursday, which was one day more than a year after we got the first tranche, so they were right in line with what they had anticipated us getting.
That's how much?
$16,467,618. So that completes the entire $32,900,000 we were supposed to receive. I also wanted to update the committee that next month there will be several items on the agenda. The advisory levy comes forward in July. The authorizing resolution, which is the set sale for the bond sale for 2022, and we will have the first general fund report at that meeting as well.
Right.
What's the second item you said?
The authorizing resolution to set the sale date for the bonds for and notes for 2022.
Why don't you explain, since we have a number of new committee members, the levy resolution that you mentioned?
Barnum, would you like to speak to
that? Sure. The levy, advisory levy resolution is something that is required by county board ordinance to be brought to the finance committee and voted on by the county board. It provides a advisory levy percentage increase year over year for the budget. At that time, finance will prepare a document that will show the expected costs increase from one year to the next, and also some revenues that potentially could offset them, and then the effect of that going forward.
Yes.
Quick question. Since I just received a new assessment for my property and it went up $140,000 in a year, that's happening across the region. So a levy increase is already essentially baked in based on the valuation changes, is it not?
If you're, it all's based on how the pie grows, the assessment. So if your assessment went up percentage wise to the value of your home less than other people's, then in effect your effect would be less than for others.
It's my effect, but the county is already essentially taking in greater revenue off the levy because how home valuations are going up significantly.
No.
The levy, why don't we
the
talk
levy
about
is
that?
The levy.
I didn't mean
to
add that.
Sorry, I was just curious.
Talk about the mill
it's fine to let you know.
I'll come by and sit down with you.
We certainly cannot get into that resolution deeply yet. I didn't mean to open it up for discussion. So. But hold
you left
off.
A crack there.
Yeah. All right. Anything else here? This document, the tax delinquents.
Those were attached in your board packets.
There's nothing you want to say about that. All right, so that would complete the reports. The next item is the briefing by Corporation Counsel on the circumstances of the claim of the family of the deceased corporal. That's going to be an open session.
Well, the language that says may go into closed session.
All right, what's the committee's pleasure?
Move to go on the closed session.
Second.
All right, is there any discussion on that? It was closed before. So.
On my motion, I would permit any appropriate staff to remain.
All right.
And I'm not sure it's your practice to allow youth and governance to also.
No.
That's not the practice. Okay.
It's not the practice.
But then only the permissible staff.
All right. Oh, is that you? You are. Right, you have something. Okay, very good. Anything and supervisors,
county
of course.
Supervisor.
Yeah. All right. So we'll vote on that by roll. Yes.
Aye.
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 Aye. So we are now in closed session, and thank you.